Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing snare snap lab work in Ableton Live 12, using breakbeat surgery to build a snare that feels like it was cut straight out of a jungle break, but cleaned up and tuned for modern drum and bass. This is an intermediate sound design session, so we're not just dropping in a sample and calling it done. We're going to treat the snare like a little production system. One layer will give us body, one layer will give us the crack, and one layer will give us that gritty texture that helps the hit read inside a dense 172 to 174 BPM groove. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, the snare has to do two jobs at once. It needs to punch through fast bass and hats, but it also needs to feel big, musical, and alive. If the snare is too clean, it can feel weak. If it's too dirty, it can get harsh or blurry. So our job is to find that sweet spot where it snaps, shouts, and still sits nicely in the mix. Start by setting your project around 172 to 174 BPM. That's a very comfortable zone for DNB and jungle-influenced rhythms. If you're making something a little more old school, 170 to 175 still works great. Now create a drum rock track for your snare work and an audio track for your breakbeat source. If you want, you can also set up a return track for reverb or parallel crunch later. We're going to keep things modular so we can move fast and swap ideas easily. Now find a breakbeat with a good snare character. Look for a break that has a clear snare hit, some room tone or air, and maybe a little ghost note movement around it. You don't want a super overprocessed break, where the snare is buried, and you don't want one that's so kick heavy that it masks the snare transient. Amen breaks. Think breaks and funky breaks with expressive snare articulation are all great starting points. Drag the break into Ableton, either as an audio clip on the timeline or into Simpler if you already know the exact hit you want. If you're working on the timeline, turn warp on if needed. Beats mode is often useful when you want to preserve transients, and Complex Pro is more for tonal material or if you need extra stretching flexibility. But for this lesson, the cleanest approach is to find the snare hit in the break, isolate it, and treat it like a source sample. Zoom in on the snare and start your breakbeat surgery. What we want is the front edge of the hit, not a long messy chunk. Cut just before the transient, then cut after the body has started to decay, but before the tail gets too smeared. A tiny bit of room tone can be useful, because it helps the snare feel authentic and less like a sterile one-shot. If you want a faster workflow, drop the hit into Simpler, set it to one-shot mode, and use trigger or gate depending on how you like to play your MIDI. Turn snap on so your edits are precise, then move the start marker right onto the transient. This is a tiny adjustment, but it matters a lot. A 5 to 20 millisecond trim at the front can completely change the energy of a snare. Now let's build the rack. We're going to use three layers, each with a job. The first layer is the body. This is the main snare slice from the break. Its job is weight and character. Put EQ8 on it first. High pass it somewhere around 90 to 120 Hz so we remove low-end junk and kick bleed. If the snare needs more chest, give it a gentle boost around 180 to 250 Hz. If it sounds boxy, cut a bit around 350 to 500 Hz. Then add saturator with a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. That adds density without flattening the hit too much. If you want even more glue, add a glue compressor with a 2 to 1 ratio, a moderate attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and an auto or medium release. You're usually only looking for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction here, just enough to tighten it up, not squash it. The second layer is the snap. This is the transient focused layer, the part that gives the snare its crack. You can use a very short slice from the same break, or even another snare with a sharper front edge. On this layer, high pass much higher, around 300 to 500 Hz, because we don't want body here. We want attack. Then boost somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz for the crack, and maybe a little lift around 8 to 10 kHz if it needs air. If you want extra excitement, add drum boss with light drive and a touch of transient emphasis. Keep the boom low or off. This layer should help the snare leap out of the speakers. The third layer is noise or texture. This can be the top end of the break, a tiny bit of vinyl hiss, a filtered noise burst, or even a resampled crackle from the same source. This layer is small in the mix, but big in terms of perception. It adds that paper-like edge that makes the snare feel alive in fast arrangements. Use auto filter to keep it bright with a band pass or high pass shape. Then try saturator or roar for character, and use EQ8 to remove any low end completely. This layer should not feel like a separate sound. It should just make the snare more expensive and more convincing. Now balance the three layers. As a starting point, keep the body at unity, the snap around 4 to 8 dB lower, and the noise around 10 to 15 dB lower. A good snare in DNB often has a layer you feel more than you consciously hear. That's the snap layer. If the snare feels weak, raise the snap a little and give it more harmonic content. If it feels harsh, back off the 4 to 6 kHz area and tame any overbright saturation. At this stage, listen carefully to the phase relationship between the layers. If the snare sounds strong on each layer by itself, but gets smaller when they play together, you may have a phase issue. That's a classic gotcha. Try flipping polarity on one layer or nudge the start point by a few samples. This is one of those small moves that can save you from adding more processing when the real fix is just micro-editing. Now we can add some parallel bite. For modern DNB, a snare often needs a little extra aggression, but you don't want to destroy the transient you just worked so hard to build. One way is to put drum bus on the snare group after the drum rack. Use moderate drive, a little crunch, a touch of transient push, and keep boom under control. This can make the snare feel more forward and more glued together. Another way is to create a return track for parallel crunch. Play Q8 first and high pass around 200 Hz. Then add saturator with a healthy drive amount and soft clip-on. After that, use glue compressor with a faster attack and medium release, and compress it pretty hard. Blend that return back in quietly, until the snare gets more attitude without turning into a mess. This is one of the best tricks for making a snare feel louder without simply turning it up. If you want to get a little more modern and nasty, roar can go really nicely in this spot too. Try it after your cleanup EQ and before your final polish EQ. It can add that darker harmonic edge that works especially well in rollers and neuro-adjacent drum programming. A good processing order for the snare group is usually cleanup EQ first, then saturator, then drum bus or glue compressor, and then a final EQ pass. That final EQ is important. It's where you do the last little bit of polish, whether that means trimming an ugly resonance or adding a touch of presence. Now test the snare in a real drum and bass pattern. Put the kick on the 1, the snare on the 2, and then add ghost notes or break chops around the spaces. Play it against a rolling sub, a re-space, and maybe a simple hat loop. The real question is not, does the snare sound cool in solo? The question is, does it still read clearly when the bass and hats are in motion? That's the actual test. If the snare disappears in the mix, the most likely problems are low mid masking, not enough transient snap, or not enough harmonic content in the 2 to 6 kHz range. If it sounds piercing, then you've probably pushed the top layer too hard, or you need a narrower cut around 4 to 8 kHz. Remember, a snare that sounds huge on its own can still fail in context. Now let's talk arrangement, because snare design is also groove design. In your main drop, you can use the biggest version of the snare. Then, every 4 or 8 bars, introduce a variation. Maybe a drier version in one section, a dirtier one in another, or a version with a little more room tail. This keeps the ear engaged. You can also use a filtered snare before the drop, where you high-pass the body away and leave only the snap and noise. That's a great way to build tension without giving away the full impact. For more jungle flavor, try call and response. Alternate your main snare with break fills, ghost snare hits, or reversed snare swells. That kind of movement makes the rhythm feel more human and more rooted in breakbeat culture. Here's a really useful coach note. Think in rolls, not just layers. Before you add another sample or plugin, ask what job it solves. Does it add click? Does it add punch? Does it add tail weight? Does it add stereo detail? If it doesn't solve a clear problem, it may just be making the sound messier. Also, gain stage early. Leave headroom on each layer, so your drum rack and group chain aren't already clipping before the final polish. And always check your snare at low volume. If it still reads clearly when quiet, the transient balance is probably right. If you want to go a step further, try making a two-state snare rack. One state is tight, with shorter decay, less reverb, and more transient emphasis. The other state is open, with a longer tail, extra room send, and a bit more saturation. Map those changes to macros so you can automate snare character across a drop. That's a very powerful performance move. You can also experiment with velocity. If harder MIDI hits trigger more top end, a slightly shorter release, or a touch more drive, your repeated snares will feel more alive. Ghost hits can stay softer and a bit darker, which adds expression without changing the pattern. Another strong trick is to create a mid-range-only layer that lives mostly between 1.5 and 4 kHz. High-pass it aggressively, remove the low mids, and add just a little saturation. That layer can make the snare jump out without making the whole hit louder. And for a darker touch, try a tiny room reverb. A short hybrid reverb with a decay around 0.3 to 0.8 seconds, a little pre-delay, and a fairly low high cut can make the snare feel bigger without turning it into wash. In dark D&B, the reverb should feel like space, not fog. Here's a quick practice challenge. Build three snares from one breakbeat. Make one clean and punchy, one hard and snappy, and one dirty and jungle-ish. Then place them in an 8-bar loop. Hear which one wins with the bass, which one creates the most movement, and which one feels most authentic to the style you're aiming for. If you really want to level up, resample your favorite one and chop it again. That's where some of the best new textures come from.